The digital mine of the future is already here, and it's a hot topic at Mining in Durban. It has been for the last 2 or 3 years, so it is still one of those vogue topics, much like battery minerals is this year. And we just have to see it in what's happening in South Africa currently. In July last year, South Africa's largest coal producer, Exxaro, broke ground on a 3.5 billion rand digital mine in Mpumalanga, and it's the very first of its kind. So it isn't something that we talk about in the future, it's here. And to talk about the digital mine of the future, who better to talk to than the global leaders at GE? I've got Doug Hansen, who's GE's GM for digital mining, in my pop-up studio. Doug, great to see you again.
Great to see you, Michael.
And I've also got Dr. Johan Rademan, Global Consulting Leader for Digital Mine at GE Mining. Johan, great to see you.
Thank you, Michael.
Now, Doug, you've landed on Sunday. You're probably still suffering from a bit of jet lag, but your overall impression of mining in Durban this year, what does GE look to get out of an event of this nature? I know it is the largest.
Mining in Durban creates just a tremendous opportunity to very productively and efficiently connect with a number of our clients and a number of companies that are interested in finding out more about what we're doing for our clients. And so an example would be yesterday we created an opportunity for one customer and one prospective customer to get together in a social setting, exchange ideas, and that can create opportunities for them company to company, as well as help us tell the story of what we're doing. In this case, it was PPM, Polansberg Platinum, and their extensive use of digital mine for collision avoidance in their mine and personnel protection from a safety standpoint. And that sets a terrific platform for gathering positional data in the mine, and sets a platform for productivity as well.
It's wonderful to hear the examples that you do pick up at an event of this nature, and it's all over. It's transportation, it's operational, it's asset management, it's a whole range of different issues. Johan, your business that you built was CSense Systems until it was acquired by GE some 13 years ago. Just share how CSense came to be acquired by GE and a bit of your background.
Yeah, Michael, yeah, I think... Yeah, I think CSense started out as a couple of young guys at university and yet started playing around with the artificial intelligence technologies at that stage. I think still early days, still yet floating around to find the practical use cases for it. But coming out of the sort of more technical background from the mining perspective, you know, I think we started out, I had a couple of years just in industry, and then I've got some of the... partners that also started the business with us together. Yeah, it got together yet a couple of years after that, and yeah, I think it took a number of years to get it on the map and get the product to a point where I think you got them in the industry and got some legitimacy. And yeah, and then yeah, I think that was one of the points that it's again a bit of a timing thing as well, and yet getting to know the right people. So got exposed to some of the international partners yet of GE at that time, and that sort of set the scene, because they get you exposed then to GE itself, and that sort of led to GE eventually acquiring CSense. So I think it's quite exciting. It's quite exciting for South Africa, because the development team are still sitting in South Africa, so yeah, doing the forefront type development work on software. Yeah, for GE. Based here in Stellenbosch.
Based here in Stellenbosch. Yeah. Well, they're worse places to work out of than Stellenbosch, Doug, as I'm sure you know, grinning widely. But it really is a feather in South Africa's cap that we can produce the sorts of skills and coders to operate in a space that GE is now pioneering in the world with your Predix Internet of Things software. You were really first to market on that scale.
Yes, and Predix meant a number of things to a number of people, but think of it really as a backplane that underpins a lot of the services that are required by any IoT application, whether that application is ultimately being hosted on Microsoft Azure in the cloud or on a local server. There's the data management, the data handling, the high performance compute functionality, the cybersecurity that's the baseline, the basic layer that needs to be in every application. And rather than reinventing that every time, it allows you to take that CSense software, which we now call OPM, Operations Performance Management, and optimization routines that have been developed, and not have to be concerned about that lower layer redevelopment in every case. And that helps firms that have also spun out, met yesterday with the principals of Stone 3 in Stellenbosch. And Stone 3 has some of the CSense heritage. They've developed some technologies in their own direction, applied to mining, particle size, determination at various points in the mining process. And we're now collaborating to bring that back into the solutions that GE Digital Mine is taking to market. So it is a wheels within wheels. And I must say, my observation as a Canadian in this business is that one of the biggest exports from the mining industry in South Africa is South African miners, because they're in every consulting firm, in every mining company around the world, and it's tremendous to discover that every time.
Yeah, and it's sometimes something we don't, Johannes, celebrate enough is the fact that we really do lead the world when it comes to high-level mining skills, and we need to harness that in order to improve our competitiveness globally. The mines minister yesterday was talking to the issue of global competitiveness, and we're competing on this global playing field at the moment. How can this concept of a digital mine and the various solutions that it offers, because when we talk digital mining, it is a whole host of different things. How do you see that feeding into increasing South Africa's competitiveness in the world stage?
Yeah, Michael, I think there's a lot of areas that sort of that feeds into that component for the South African miners. I think the biggest challenge probably is, before one just talk around where it feeds in, is just the how do you approach it? Because I think that's probably where the biggest pitfall is. Historically, looking at the digital space, people, most of the bigger industries and miners all have, can tell you a long list of bad experiences they've had. And I think it's all about how do you approach this? Yet how do you package this? Yet, and I think for us, the drive is to be outcome focused. So you want to put a value proposition on the table, and you drive that. So you rather go for a smaller piece that you can drive the value, and I think prove the value, because that also drives adoption. Because the other thing is, in the mining industry, it's an old industry. It's really, I think, in a lot of cases, yet people talk around for 100 years, the mining methods haven't changed. Yet, and so now you come with this whole digital approach. So the question is you need to be careful at how you expose people, and the way you expose them is to show them what it does for them, how it helps them, how does it create value, how does it make their jobs easier. And I think that's just, it's sort of a slow progression to that. And I think in the case of South Africa, it's exactly, I mean, if you look at what the miners are struggling with, I mean, it's a cost issue. There's a lot of cost pressures. So if you can get that efficiency, yet by improving and getting the cost lower by doing things more efficiently, yet I think that's the main advantage. But at the same time, the other side of the coin is, how do you upskill the workers, and how do you make sure, I think, you push, I think, the education levels and I think just the general knowledge, and changing them to more knowledge workers than just laborers. And that's still the key thing to drive.
A key part of South Africa's leadership is the leadership. And we heard yesterday from Deshni Naidu, who's the CEO of Vedanta Base Metals, and her talking about the Gamsberg mine, Greenfield site, making it a digital mine from the beginning. And that's a collaboration that we have enjoyed with Vedanta over the last year and a half. And we're into delivering smart ore movement applications that marry technologies that were born for safety, but contribute tremendously to productivity as well. And so it takes that executive leadership, in many cases, to condition their organization to say it's okay to push the envelope, to try innovative approaches, to break the mold and break out of this 100-year...
Miners in hard hats, a very conservative view that we do have of the mining industry. So it is a cultural journey that, which requires leadership, as you say, and that change management. Johan, saying that, though, the benefits are quite clear. In an industry that wants to reduce costs per ton, and it's a volume game, so it's all about more tons to the mill and getting your all-in sustaining costs down, that clearly isn't a difficult message to sell. Where are the challenges, perhaps? Is the technology adaptable to the current workforce that we have in South Africa? Is it able to be designed almost like in a low-tech manner?
Yeah, I think, Michael, it's probably not... I think the question is not about the low-tech side of it. I think it's still, if you get these technologies to be applicable, you know, I think the key constraint is always what can you measure? Because it's digital, so you need to be able to measure, but... If you look at the advancement in measurement technologies, I think that is catching up, and you can at this stage measure most of the things that you need. And I think that then becomes more of a function of how do you expose that to the right people yet at the right time so that they can yet make the right decisions and yet get them to be more productive in that sense.
Give them that real-time dashboard of what's going on to make those decisions on site.
Yeah.
Doug, when you look at the whole idea of a digital mine, and I spoke earlier about asset performance management versus operations performance management, what are the high-level differences between the two here? When we look at asset performance, what is that? Just monitoring a device, linking it up via the Internet of Things to something for predictive maintenance purposes?
Yes, for example, most products out there, whether it's a pump or a motor, have a few sensors in them today that produce data that in the past has been going to a panel somewhere, and there's a set point associated with that, and when the set point is exceeded, an alarm goes off and it requires some attention. What we're seeing now, though, is the instrumentation of whole systems, and so the entire concentrator, the mining feed into the concentrator, the intelligent stockpile, knowing what ore quality has been deposited where in the stockpile so that you can do some coarse grade pre-blending to make the concentrator more efficient. And so as you cast the net wider and wider, there's more and more data being fed in. And in one case, just recently with Anglo American, we saw that in order to get to that predictive analytic capability that would be relevant to the failure modes that they were seeing on some very mission-critical assets, we had to add sensors to it as well. And so by putting the right sensors in the right areas of the in this case an industrial pump, a reciprocating pump, we were able to gather the data that now feeds those predictive analytics. But you mentioned earlier about the cultural shift, and I think this is something that really again is underestimated by miners, in that maintenance teams for years have been the firefighters. They're celebrated for making the repair. Now the celebration has to happen for the prevention of the outage in the first place.
Well, it's how you motivate at the end of the day. And I was having the conversation about how regulators are penalized if they drop the ball, very rarely rewarded if there's a positive outcome in their industry. And so we've got to look at what the motivators are and what the reward punishment a system is, and from a management level, I mean that's very easy to solve for, but it's about identifying that right problem, as you said, though, Doug. And every day I open up a newspaper, and there's a story about a driverless truck or autonomous ships or drones on mines. And if you're a tier 2 miner or a junior miner, you might say, well, that's good enough for a Vedanta or a BHP or an Anglo's, as you've mentioned. What about me at that level? Has this technology opened up? Are we seeing it become more accessible to the tier two miners, the junior miners, and how should I go about approaching this whole journey if I've never even dipped my toe in the water?
Well, I think, like everything, you look for the largest impact that you can make in your business. Let's say that in a junior miner, they're spending a disproportionate amount of their operating budget on maintenance every year. Let's look at taking that maintenance and seeing what critical assets are in their system, and then how we can gather data on those critical assets, send it into the back room analytics that we run with our APM software in our industrial performance and reliability center. When the performance of those critical assets begins to degrade, long before an alarm ever gets sounded, one of our reliability engineers can identify issues, they can do some root cause analysis, and they can cycle back into that maintenance management team on site on a weekly basis with a list of inspections or confirmations of units that are showing degradation in the mine, so that maintenance team can be proactive and they can do maintenance only where maintenance is required. They can use parts for only the part that needs to be replaced, and they can understand better the duty cycles of various pieces of mobile and fixed equipment to really begin to manage that big maintenance cost into a better performance, a cheaper result, and that results in lower cash costs on a per ton basis.
And now you're making dollar signs in their eyes. Johan?
Yeah, no, I just wanted to add on there. I think the key for, especially junior miners, I think they're generally a bit more sensitive on spending money. And I think it's about quantifying the value case. So if you can put the value case, I mean, to context what Doug just mentioned, yet you put the value case on the table, and it's for them, that step is, how do you dip your toe in the water? Yet just look at the value case and see how you can, from that perspective, keep your supplier honest in delivering that value case. Because we also mentioned around yet rewarding people, yet in the context of yet avoiding failures, and we've got a way of trying to track the value that we prevented. So yeah, there is a good system of what we call catch of the week, yet that gets quantified, yet the customer actually signs it off in terms of the value that's presented, and that's also part of the value on a monthly and annual basis that you provide in a report back to the customer and say, listen, this is the amount of money you saved in prevention, yet that you have yet achieved. So just a slight nuance difference, but it's just doing a small thing that you can start rewarding good behavior or a good change. Yes.
In fact, you can your readers can go out to Catch of the Week on Google, GE.com, and you can subscribe for an email, a weekly email of the Catch of the Week, and it describes how a specific customer with a specific asset suffered an issue, or an issue was developing. It was caught by the software. The reliability engineers did root cause analysis. It was verified by the customer's maintenance people on site, and the problem was rectified before it had an opportunity to disrupt the operation in a very impactful or expensive way. And so that celebration then gets quantified by the customer that said, if we didn't have this, here's what could have happened, here's what it would have cost us if that happened. And it's a way of reinforcing the deployment of these technologies.
And as we see the technology taken up, it's like in any industry, those that are the laggards, those that aren't using technology that, while maybe not ubiquitous just yet, probably will be in the next 5 to 10 years, are going to find themselves left behind and not very competitive in an increasingly globalized and competitive environment. So, chaps, thank you very much. That's all the time we have for on the show tonight. It'll be very interesting to hear how the evolution of the digital mine is starting to gain traction in very real-world terms and examples. and interesting to hear the education and research and leadership you're taking that position with Catch of the Week. I think there is a lot of that cultural shift that you've realized still needs to take place as well. So thank you very much.
Thanks for having us again, Michael, and I look forward to continuing the story again next year as we'll be back at Indaba.
Thank you, Michael.
That's Doug Hansen, GE's GM for Digital Mining, and Dr. Johan Rademan, Global Consulting Leader for Digital Mine at GE.